I want to introduce, they don't need any introduction. This is their fifth gig, right? And I want to just present to you Ron and Robin Garriga. They are the chair people for our Will You Grow campaign. And they're going to share a little bit about that as they come today. Welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Robin. This is Ron. And we've done this several times. It's the generosity campaign. You've seen a lot of political ads, but we're at the generosity campaign for Shalimar UMC for 2019. And fortunately, I've got a frog in my throat, so you don't have to listen to me much.
Well, we are excited about being a part of this leadership for your generosity campaign for Shalimar United Methodist Church for the year 2019. I want to give God the glory that Robin's able to even talk right now, because this morning she could say not hardly anything. So I give God all the glory that you at least have some voice. So thank you, Lord. But there are days that I enjoy not having that voice around, just by the way. Just saying. Sorry. After 33 years, you can say things like that, right?
That's right.
But we are excited about being a part of this leadership team and the staff that have put this together. This doesn't just happen. There's a lot of work that goes into things like this that happen for the growth of our congregation. We have, like Philip said, this is our fifth time to be before our church family, and it has truly been a blessing. Each service, I picked up a little something different, and it's God's will that all the things just kind of flow together. I would like right now for us all just to turn to give praise and honor to this amazing music team.
Woo-hoo!
We had the pleasure of being with them last night, and they sang a song, and I apologize, I don't know the name of the song, but one of the refrains in the song, and we're going to sing it a little later, and I really want you to listen to the words of it. But in it is the verse, "Is he worthy?"
Yes, he is.
And that says it all. When you're thinking about where you are and your aspect of being so generous, and this church is so generous already, and when you think about where you want to take your step for the next level of giving, just know that he is worthy. Without him, we would have nothing. He died for us, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for us to be able to have this amazing building and these chairs and the love and appreciation among every one of us here today. So be thinking about that. We also want this to be a prayerful, biblical experience for you. We want it to be a spiritual experience. So when you go to scripture and you pray about it and you think about it, we want you to become better disciples and stewards of your giving. So as you think about where you are, have some quiet time, some long time. You're going to see a lot of Robin and I for the next 3 days. We're sorry. We apologize in advance. We are not movie stars. We are not those that can do things off the cuff as a rule, but we do love talking about our Lord and Savior. And it has been a blessing for us to give over the years. And we want our church family to know that we have made a commitment to take the next step in our giving. As your leaders of this campaign, I would think it would not be appropriate for us to stand before you and ask you to do it when we were not doing it. So we are saying to you, our church family, we're going to take that step, and we inspire and challenge you to do this. Don't think about giving to the budget. Think about you, the giver, and how you want to give. Budget aside, just how do you, and your with your finances that you have, how you want to be a part of those resources. And we know there's so many resources that it takes to do the wonderful things that the ministry support here at Shalimar United Methodist Church does. For those of you watching us, we also challenge you to the same aspect of where you are and where you want to grow in your giving. And there'll be opportunities for you to do such as the weeks go ahead and you hear from Robin and I and our pastors in our sermon series. So thank you. Robin, is there anything you'd like to add?
November the 18th is Commitment Sunday for our generosity campaign.
Yes, and thank you so much. And we certainly do love being a part of this church family. And we just ask you, we ask that you join us in growing Shalimar United Methodist Church. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron and Robin. And we appreciate so much all the work that you've both done to help us get to this point in the Will You Grow series. Well, speaking about generosity, she went somewhere else. She's done with you, Ron. It is our time and service for us to be able to give out of the joy of our heart to our Lord. So I'd like to call our joy team. Can we give a joy praise? Woo! Whoa, story team come forward. Jesus warned his would-be disciples that making a commitment too quickly is something we should be cautious of. And as we talk a lot about commitments in the coming week, we want you to know that we don't take that word lightly. Jesus said, "Whoever puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom." We don't want you to take anything you do here lightly. We want you to be 100% sure about everything you make as a decision. Our vows when we join the church are that we're going to support the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. There's not an exception clause. There's no asterisk by any of those. So as we talk about will you grow, we're not asking for you to just check a box and say, oh, I'll do that at some point in my life. We want you to think today, am I able to grow in my spiritual life today? And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But right now, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and offer to him whatever we have in this moment to give. So would you join me? Almighty Lord, we're grateful that you don't ask us to just commit and give out of a whim, that you want us to do so with consideration and thought, with planning. So this morning is whatever we have come prepared to give to you, we do so. We ask that you bless these things that we have, that you use them for your kingdom, that you multiply them. But most importantly, Lord, that you show us where it is in our lives that we need to grow, that we need to trust, that we need to be multiplied in our spiritual life. Allow us to not look back and to only look forward to the kingdom and use these gifts to further that kingdom. We pray these things to your glory and honor. Amen.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Dwell again with us. He does. tribe, every nation and tongue. He has made us a kingdom, a priest of God, to reign with the sun. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of our blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this? Thank you.
So I'm excited this morning because the Hart family, not Jonathan Hart. That was a little confusing in the planning. A different Hart family is coming for our baptism and joining. Hi, guys. And they have a bunch of family here. You guys just come on where as best as you can fit in. Come on, fill everybody in. Because there's nothing more exciting in a baptism than having family. We have the family of God, of course, but when we have a baptism, we should have as many loved ones here as possible. So I want to introduce you. This is Cooper, and this is Aiden, and then we have Kirby and Josh Hart. So we are going to baptize Cooper this morning, and we are reaffirming the rest of the family's baptism, and they're joining our church family. You guys have a seat. You look like you're in a good mood. You can be cooperative for us this morning. So, how are you guys? We're doing okay? All right, so Kirby and Josh, I would like to ask if when we make these vows, if you will make them on behalf of the boys and reaffirm them for yourself as well. Okay? Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? If so, just say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races? An easy task, right? Heavenly Father, we ask that you put your bless this water this morning and allow it to be a symbol of your Holy Spirit upon our lives. Let us feel your grace and mercy through it and transform us so that we can be your church. We ask your blessings upon the Hart family as they receive this blessing of the water. We pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So what is Cooper's full name?
Cooper William Daniel
Hart. All right, Cooper, you gonna let me hold you? Hi. All right. Cooper William Daniel Hart. All right. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, what a good boy. All right. Kirby Hart, remember your baptism and be thankful. All right, Aiden, come here. Remember your baptism and be thankful. And Josh, remember your baptism and be thankful. Now, you guys decided you wanted to join the church as well, so I have one more question for you. You've just professed your faith. Do you promise to live out that faith here in our congregation of Shalimar United Methodist with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Awesome. And we've got all this family. Yay! If you guys want to extend a hand, I'm going to pray for them now. They have a new family to join our church family. Would you join me? Almighty God, allow us to be like the Harts in living out our faith every day. Ask your special blessings upon them as they continue on in their faith journey. Allow them to be witnesses for you everywhere that they go. Allow us to help join with them to help these boys be raised in your love and your grace and mercy so they may grow up knowing who you are in their lives. They may grow to be examples to their friends and may one day grow to affirm their faith in you. We thank you for your everlasting power and love and for your mercy in all the world. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. Welcome to the family.
Thank you.
I'll give the Hart family time to be seated, but I want to say before I read the scripture, the Hart family is very special to the Garrigas, and I remember Josh, he doesn't remember me, but I remember you and about the size of Aiden, so I am getting very old. But nothing is more beautiful than the baptism of a child. Do you agree? Let's hear it for the Hart family one more time on these babies. I would like for my church family to stand in honor of God's word. And the reason we do stand is because we are giving the utmost respect for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and his word. I'm going to be reading from Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. Listen to these words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and the strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hello, I'm Philip McVeigh, and I'm here with Ron and Robin Garriga, directors for our generosity campaign that we are calling Will You Grow? And we want our congregation to hear these three words, Will You Grow, each week. And the first word is will. And I just wanted to ask Ron and Robin, when you hear that word will, what do you hear that God is asking you to do?
Well, let me say that I didn't hear you say, can you? You said, will you? And our answer is, yes, we will. And when I hear the word will, I'm making a choice. It is my choice that I will do something. And when it comes to tithing, Robin and I, as a married couple, have always said we will tithe. There's some times that have been dark and some times that we've not been able to give as much as we would like, but we have always tried to make it our will to give one step further each year, and our blessings because of that have just been abundant.
So when you choose to respond, when your will meets God's will, you've been blessed.
Absolutely. And not just blessed financially, spiritually, emotionally, with friends and support, and just seeing blessings even in our church family.
You know, a blessing, it could be someone's good health. Mm-hmm. It could be someone's success at work. And how does that affect your will? Well, it's will because we have joy with what we're doing. We have pride in the fact that we do make an effort to give to God and to strengthen God's kingdom.
One final question about the word will. If you were going to ask as directors for our congregation to do something differently with this word will, what would you recommend that each of us does in response to this campaign?
I think first of all, stop and take a little quiet time, which is very hard in our society today, but alone time to prayerfully speak with our Lord and listen to what he's encouraging you to do, because he's going to be there to support you with whatever your decision is.
And for some reason I keep mixing in the word can, because we can do most anything, but will we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So our
make the choice.
Our choice is we want you, our church family at Shalimar United Methodist Church, to join us by saying we will grow in our giving to the church.
Thank you, Ron and Robin, for giving us some insight about this word will.
Will you grow with us?
Well, welcome again. I have to tell you, I'm excited about this series, the stewardship series, Will You Grow? It's not like anyone I've been a part of before. I've grown up in the church. I've been in the church my whole life. I have heard a lot of stewardship campaigns. I mean, I've been in the church since before I could remember being in the church. And this one I love because we're not talking about budgets. We're not talking about a number that we need of money. We're talking about your spiritual life. And I tell you, as a pastor, that's the part I care about. My job has nothing to do with the budget. I don't even see the budget. I don't get budget reports, except when I'm over on my budget. But I don't have anything to do with that. That's not what I do. What I do is I help people focus on where we can get them in the church and get their spiritual life going. And this is about your spiritual life. This is about how you grow spiritually. And believe it or not, how you connect your money and your spiritual life is important. And that's what this whole series is about. Now this week, we're focusing on this word, will. And I started thinking about it, and you know, the power of our will. We talk about willpower all the time. You know, what drives us to do things? Our will is what stops us from making decisions that we just pop into our head. We teach our kids, right, from a little young age, you don't have to do every impulse that pops into your head. Or we try to. Because if we want to be functioning as we get into our teenage years and our adult years and all that, we have to stop impulses and think through them. That's willpower. Now, I hate going to the gym. Hate it. I know I need to go to the gym. I need it to be healthy. If I want to be healthy, if I want to do the work that God asked me to do, if I want to live a long, healthy life, I hate it. I have zero willpower to go to the gym. So what do? I have to work around my willpower because I can't change my willpower on my own. Our power of our will can either help us or it can hurt us. What does life look like if we give in to every impulse? I found this picture online of this little girl. So apparently this little girl has gone viral. She even showed up on the news. It's from a Major League Baseball game, and she went crazy over a thing of cotton candy. Now, there was another picture of her dad sitting next to her. I'm assuming it was her dad. This man sitting next to her that was just laughing at her eating this cotton candy. I sat there and I just thought, her poor mother. That little toddler ate the entire thing of cotton candy and got a sugar rush from it. And they saw all of her face as she's eating this cotton candy. That's the opposite of willpower. This is not what I want to happen to you when you go home. I want us to control ourselves, not give in to the cotton candy, okay? So this is the opposite of what we're trying to accomplish. Now that you got that in your head, we want to use our will for good decisions. We want to use our willpower to help us control what happens in our lives. Now I have a question I want you to think about. How did God create the world? Some of you, it just popped in your head, right? Well, he did it in 7 days. But how did God create the world? He created the world with his will. He willed it to happen. However you believe it happened, I'm not in that debate this morning. Don't come talk to me after that, okay? But however the world was created, God willed it to happen because he's God. God's will created everything. Now, if that's not a power of will, I don't know what is. He is so big and so powerful that he made everything we see, including us. Think about that for a second. Makes my willpower seem like nothing. I can't even resist cookies. Or convince myself to get out of bed at 5:30 in the morning to go to the gym. God's will put everything into existence. So as we move forward into this morning and the mornings to come, and we start talking about what our will is and how we move into growing, I want you to do two things for me. I want you to stay open-minded. Okay? I want you to not think about all the other series that you've heard and you've not liked. I don't want you to hear the fact that we're talking about stewardship and just check off and say, I'm not listening to this. I don't like to talk about money. I don't like to talk about stewardship. I know what I'm going to do. I don't want to think about any of it. Okay, we want to be open-minded. Because I'm not here to talk to you about your money. I'm here to talk to you about your spiritual life. God's going to sort the rest of it out. Okay? So I want you to be open-minded today and in the weeks to come. And I want to ask you one other thing. That second thing, you got to listen. The second thing is I want to ask you this morning to commit to commit. Did you catch it? I want to ask you to commit today to commit. We are going to have our Sunday for pledging on November 18th. I don't want you to decide what you're going to do today. I want you to decide today that you're going to make a decision. Because our goal is that 100% of our church will make an estimate of giving. An estimate of giving something on the 18th. Do you know we are lucky if we usually get 50% of the church to participate? If that's a marker for people who are trusting God in their spiritual life, we're not doing so hot. And if I care about the spiritual life of my church, then I'm not successful at what I do as a pastor. I don't care about the budget, remember? I don't even know what it is. They show me some report at the beginning of the year. I look at it, I don't remember. That's not my job. I care about you growing. And so I want you this morning, as I continue this message, to pray and think about committing, to commit to something. And that's between you and God and what you do. But that when the November 18th comes around, that you'll be here and we will commit as a congregation to do something for God next year. I've been doing that. My husband and I started those conversations a couple weeks ago. They're not easy conversations. Just keep an open mind and be willing to do that. Now, our passage this morning, I love this passage from Proverbs chapter 3. It's a very uplifting passage. I've never used it in a series like this before, which is even better. But Proverbs chapter 3. Now we got three stanzas this morning. The first stanza, we're going to go quickly through them. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 through 6 is the first that we're going to go through stanza. There's stanzas before it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. This stanza is about us making a joyful commitment to God, to seek his desire for our life. Joyfully, not what we call our joy team, right? Because we give to God joyfully. We do things out of the joy of our heart. We don't do it begrudgingly because we have to, because someone told us it has to be done, because we want to. We trust God with our whole heart. Now, in the Jewish tradition, it was one of the foundations of the faith to trust God. If you didn't trust God, then you didn't have faith. And what they meant by trusting God is that you trusted God's truthfulness, you trusted his integrity, his divine promises, and his reliability. God never changes. I can't say that about our world. Our world's changing all the time. But the person that God is ever constant. He's always going to be truthful. He's always going to be a person of integrity. He's always going to have divine promises for us. And he's always going to be reliable. We can always trust that he is there for us. Knowing these things, can we trust him? Can we trust him with our lives, with our souls, with our jobs, with our school? Can we trust God with our family? Can we trust him with our relationships? And can we trust him with our money? That's the question. Can we trust him with the things that are important to us? Because if he is all of these things, can we give him what matters to us and say, God, I put it in your hand. Show me where to go. We go on. Well, hold on. I want to tell you a story first. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. So AJ and I are about to celebrate our 10-year wedding anniversary. Yay! We survived. For the first 7 years of our relationship, I was a student. That's not an easy life. Okay. I was in college and seminary. And we got married while I was still in college. Our first apartment was in married housing on campus. It was not pretty. We did not have much. But we survived. We lived off most of those years in college and seminary off one income. We did a lot of trusting that God would provide. We had weeks that we didn't know how we were going to pay for gas or food. And we watched our bank account get very low. Because we survived off grants. And the grant money would come to an end. But we survived. We're here. We had to trust God. God put us together. He put us there. He told us our path that we were going, and we had to trust that he was going to keep it going. If we go on into Proverbs verses 7 and 8 says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. That's like the proverb saying, don't be a hothead. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Don't trust that you know how to do it. Don't be a know-it-all. You have somebody in your life you want to say that to? Some of you are going, I got to write this down and go back and share this proverb with them. Don't think you got it all sorted. You got to trust that God is going to take care of it. And afterwards, listen to what God says. That's the hard one for us, right? If we're going to fear God, we got to trust that he's got it covered. God has given us a purpose on our life. He's given us abilities. He's given us gifts. He's given us talents. He's given us strengths for a reason. He's going to take care of us. But many times we look at God and go, hey, God, I got it. I'll see you later. And we keep on going. Kind of like when, you know, we get dropped off at college and we wave at our parents goodbye and run into the dorm. It's like waving bye. We got it, God. I'll talk to you when we need you. That's not what God wants. He wants us to trust him and fear him in a way that, not fear like we shiver with fear. Fear him in the sense that it's a fear of respect. That we are trusting that he's going to care for us, and out of honor for him, we are seeking his guidance in everything we do. And then we go on to the third stanza, verses 9 and 10. If we trust him and we fear him, we honor him, is this the result? Okay. So honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce, then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. Now, some other translations here, the best part of everything, they use that phrase, they put first fruits. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits you produce. Okay? And what they're saying is we got to give God the best that we have. We got to give to him first. When AJ and I didn't have much, we committed to still give to God. We knew that we had to give to him even when we had little. We gave to God first because if we didn't, when the bank account got low, we never would have given. And we didn't have pretty apartments. We didn't have penthouses, but I guarantee you we always had food. And it wasn't a luxurious life, but we always survived. And God cared for us. And he always made sure we were okay. I want you to just take a moment with me and picture this word overflowing. I don't know what you think of. My first thought when I think of overflowing is like a bucket or cup of water kind of overflowing. But we can overflow things. We can overflow ourselves with joy and love. We can overflow negative things. But if we as a church commit to growing spiritually and putting God first, our church can overflow. Can you picture that? What 2019 could look like if we overflow, if our souls are overflowing, if our church is overflowing, if this room were overflowing, if our nursery was overflowing and our Sunday school rooms were overflowing and the parking lot, every parking lot, not just the one here, but the sheriff station and the overflow parking and everything was overflowing. And it's not because we're just, you know, so popular. It's because we're filled with the Spirit of God and we are overflowing with God's love and we're committed to who he is as a Lord and Savior, and therefore our dedication is causing other people to be drawn to God. Drawn to the life of commitment to God. Now, I don't know about you, but my willpower may not be the best in a lot of things, but I am willing to find a way to commit to a future where we are overflowing with love in our lives and we are bringing more people into that life. I'm willing to give my money to that because that's a future I can add into. And that's a future I want to be a part of. So I want to invite you to stand and think about, can you commit to prayer over the next couple weeks? Can you commit to thinking about what is going to happen? You should this next week receive in the mail a brochure about our campaign. We've got a website online. You can look at what's going on. But I want you to think about where we can go as a church and how you can be a part of it, because we want you to grow here so that we can grow out there. That's the part that matters. Join me in prayer in our closing song.